Hi, this is Bobby Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like...
¿Por qué chingados le andas diciendo a la comadre que por qué le mandé a pedir el tope?
What? Hello, hello, hello. Okay, so what's up, man? Dude, bro.
What? Nothing, just I'm here eating delicious tacos. I don't know. It was a Mediterranean place and they had things on a trompo and I was like, that's it.
Wait, you got tacos from a Mediterranean place for us today? That's cute. Let's see here. And it looks like they're actual tortillas de maíz.
How do you say trompo in English again?
I don't know, bitch. Spit. Where they put the shawarma or whatever.
That. So okay. I saw that and I was like, okay, this is where I need to eat. And then there was a Taco Tuesday special. So I ordered the Taco Tuesday, except that it's not Tuesday. And the guy was very confused. He's like, but it's Wednesday. I'm like, but I want the Taco Tuesday special.
Hello, but it's Thursday because this is when the podcast comes out.
Oh, that's right. It's Thursday.
You're ruining the magic.
Sorry, Fabi. I'm sorry. And so I order that, and the guy's like, what do you want in it? I've never ordered from them before.
Yeah.
He's like, do you want tomatoes? I say, yes. Do you want cucumbers? I say, yes. Do you want pickled carrots? I say, yes. Do you want tzatziki? So he just kept adding and adding.
You want what?
To like tzatziki sauce.
Oh, okay.
The cucumber, yogurt, delicious.
So it's like a taco with all the stuff that you would normally
It's like a pita and tortilla, basically, is what it is.
It's good, except... it's missing a little something extra.
Yes.
It needs a little limon or something.
It needs limon. It needs cilantro.
Thankfully, we're at my house, so let me just get up and get that real quick. Mm-hmm.
So that's for what I'm eating. But what have you been up to?
Oh, my. So much. I've had a great weekend. I was up in Reno, Nevada. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Nevada. And I had a...
Hola.
I had a couple art shows up north, so I'm part of this show called Tilting the Basin at the Nevada Museum of Art. So if you guys are up there, it's going to be up through October, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm at a show in Carson City at the Nevada Arts Council, and that's a show. It's called Mi Casa es Mi Casa, and it's about my Guatemalan grandma. So I made a bunch of objects I actually took objects from my grandma's house, and I blew them up really big, and I made them like a mantel. And then un plato.
Oh, cool.
And like this cross stitch that my grandma has, que dice Jesús es mi pastor. So I made it with paper.
Nice.
Hallelujah. And so I was up in Reno. I had a lot of fun, saw a lot of friends, and had my new Latinos Who Lunch stickers and was handing them out to all the brown people that I could find. And there was not so many.
gonna say the three of them.
Oh my gosh, but the food up there is so good. And
any good tacos?
Oh, let's see.
That's a no. If you taking this long to answer, that's a no.
Yeah, no. Yeah. But I don't know. I wasn't like on the lookout for tacos.
Okay.
We did go to this Italian restaurant though. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you. So it's called Casals, or like Casale, I think it's Italian, so it's Casales, right? It's like called the halfway house.
Uh-huh.
And Mama Casale, they kept saying Casale, but I'm pretty sure it's Casale because it's an E at the
Casale?
End. I don't know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, facts don't matter. So the halfway house, I think it's called, it's just like this little bar that's been around since, I don't know, it's been around for like 80 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And, they serve traditional Italian food, and the same lady, Mama Casale, has been making the sauce.
But is it Italian food? Is it authentic, though?
I don't know. I've never been to Italy. Excuse me? I've been to Giada's.
I love That's that it. Word.
Authentic. It was authentic there, let me tell you that. So we walk
That's
in,
all
and it looks like a dive bar with a couple of rooms, and there's just tables everywhere. And we walk in, and the bartender is actually the lady's son. Mm-hmm. And he was funny because as soon as we got there, we're going to have to wait like half an hour so to make us happy, because I was with a bunch of brown people. And he started giving us, He gave us shots of Jaeger. That was like his thing. So he just started giving us shots. And then I had a Latinos Who Lunch sticker. And it's one of those places that has like everybody writes their names on the wall and there's stickers everywhere. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to be respectful. So I was like, can I put one of these stickers on the door? And he goes, Latinos Who Lunch, huh? Interesting. Can I see your green card?
No fucking way.
And I was like,
se lo hubieras metido por la cola.
Mira, I was so... Nobody said that joke to me since like fifth grade. Ugh. Like, that's how tired and dumb that joke is. The guy was super nice, and I knew that he was saying that joke because...
He felt comfortable?
Because he felt comfortable with us. I don't know. And so I was like, okay. And you know, usually when people make fun of me, I have like a quick response.
Yeah.
But that to me was just like so like, poof, like somebody punched me. And I was like, and everybody just looked at me like waiting. And I just didn't say anything. And then I think he felt bad. I don't think he felt bad. He was drunk too. Anyway, he ended up putting the sticker though on the door. Mm-hmm. So if you go to Mama, to the halfway house, it is there on the door. But then the whole night he kept making like Mexican jokes, and eventually though he started to get funny about it, which was good. But I don't know, it was a moment where I was like, do I like get mad and just like tell him that he's a racist?
I would have walked out.
No, but I don't see, that's the thing, I don't think it was confusing. And because now that I have this platform, like I have to represent for everybody. So I'm like, if somebody's, but okay, here, let me tell you the best joke. So he came up to me and he like tapped me on the shoulder and he kept giving us free alcohol the whole night. So that also helped probably.
That was his passport to be racist.
Yeah, nice, I think so. Know. Okay. But he was like, hey, he's like, don't worry, I got some Los Lonely Boys on the jukebox for you. I got you covered.
Wow.
That cracked me up.
But that's funny. Like,
that was good.
Yeah.
And I turned around and was like, please do not play that. I will leave. Yeah. Do not play Los Lonely Boys. Please don't. Oh, that was so good. Oh, and then there was these really cute gay boys sitting at the table next to us. Mm-hmm. And he had a rapport with them, and they've been family friends for a long time, I think. So I was like, okay, well, at least he's not homophobic.
He's a little bit
tolerant. At least he's not homophobic.
Like a double threat.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Oh, but it was fun. Reno was great. And if you guys are up in the Reno area anytime soon, definitely go check out the show Tilting the Basin at the Nevada Museum of Art. I'll be up there October 8th with a bunch of my family members. We're going to take over the roof of the museum and have a family fiesta. It's the second Saturday in October. And if you happen to be in Carson City, go by the Nevada Arts Council offices and you can check out the show that pays tribute to my grandma. And I want to give a big shout out to Claire and her mom because we stayed at their house. And then my friend Sophia. Hi. Thank you, Sophia. Hi. Had the best fucking time. It was so good. And Sophia, my friend Sophia, has a show at KUNM over there. Or sorry, KUNR. Uh-huh. I'm thinking UNM like you. she does this show every Thursday. Oh my God, I forgot the name of the show. But anyway, look it up. It's
the awesome. Link will be on the website.
It'll be on the... We're going to put a link on the website. Yeah, she does this radio show. It's so cool. Okay. So yeah. So Reno was fun. And, you know, now I'm back in Vegas and it's time to like buckle down
and start working
because I had a lot of shit coming up, so I'm excited to start working.
I didn't do anything.
What have you been doing?
I watch two movies.
Okay.
I watch one with my friend, with our friend Christy. Hi, Christy. We watch Amy. Joy. See, I don't even know the fucking name because that's how bad it was.
The one with Jennifer Lawrence,
the one about the fucking mop,
and she invents a mop.
Exactly.
Oh my God, cutting edge cinema.
This is why we rented it, because we were in the grocery store a month ago, And I pointed at the movie and I told Christy, look at this shit. Like, white people invented a fucking mapeador and they get a whole movie and we have to die at horrible diseases of, like, colonization in order to get a fucking movie. And she thought it was so funny. So we went to the same grocery store and we're like, let's watch it. That's it. She goes through all this struggle to get this mop, and I get it. It's wonderful, great, but does it deserve a movie? I don't know. I didn't. We didn't think so. And I, it's my promise, as I said earlier in a couple episodes, I'm going to become a pothead. So I smoke a tiny little hit. So it was so confusing. Like, she will dream about things that happened in her childhood in the movie, and I was so confused. I had no idea what was going on because the movie makes no sense. So I shouldn't blame the pot. But anyway, so that's what happened. We watched that. We watched 10 Cloverfield Lane. Yeah, it was a good movie. And I watch Olympic stuff nonstop. I watched the opening ceremony because ever since I watched the Beijing opening ceremony, I've been obsessed with looking at that stuff and watching it.
So let's talk about the Olympics today because
let's get into
that's
it.
What everybody's talking about. Yes. And I know what the Olympics... So this is where I'm coming from. Okay. I know what the Olympics are.
Yes, me too.
Every 4 years, right? The Summer Olympics?
Correct. Since 1880-something.
Oh, okay. So,
I mean, technically since the Greeks, but we're not going to go that back. I mean, that far back.
Okay. So I don't know, you know, I'm not really a sports guy, so I just see all that shit as sports. So I don't really, the only time I watch it, if it's like I'm at a bar and I see it, or I'm with somebody that can explain to me what's happening.
See, I'm not either a sport person, but when it comes to those international events, I'm a sucker for it. A complete sucker for it. So, like, the World Cup, I become, obsessed with Mexico's team. And when it comes to the Olympics, the same way. But it's just, I can watch it all day long and I don't get tired. But that's it. After they're over, I'm done. Like,
the World Cup is different, anything else. I feel, because it's like, I don't watch it either, but I get the, like, you have your team and your country and your root. I guess, I don't know, but it's like.
See, for me, it's because my dad took me a couple of times when I was a kid to see Las Cobras of Ciudad Juárez, which was the team of Juárez, which only lasted, I don't know, like, not too long, but it didn't last long. So I remember being excited about going to the soccer games. And the best part, the part that got me really excited about going to see Las Cobras, is that all these men will just sit there, watch the soccer games with his, you know, like, bottles of beer, like their beer glasses. And then if they score, they will throw the beer up in the air. But I remember as a kid, I was like, yay, a golden fucking shower. Because God knows what the fuck was on those glasses. Ew. But I didn't think about it till, like, later somebody told me that. It's like, oh, was that beer? I'm like, oh, you just ruined all my memories. So watching it in
TV.
That's
why you're a freak now, baby. Ah, I feel you. Okay.
I
bet you are.
Ooh, girl. Anyway, so watching it on TV, I get super fucking excited. It's like it's like I'm seeing Julieta Venegas or Café Tacuba live. Like, I just get really excited.
Wow.
Yeah, see, I'm sweating.
I know. I get it, like, because I'm a band nerd. I grew up in... this is why I don't like sports, because I was in marching band when I was in school. Mm-hmm. Shout out to all my tuba players out there. What? And we had to sit through all the football games, and then eventually the basketball games were actually more fun. And so I see it as a chore, like, to go to a game. But I know people are really into sports. I just don't understand. Probably like how I'm into, like, drag queens. Like, people are into sports, right?
The only reason you're going to drag me to a sports event is because of the food.
Oh.
Yes. So, like, 2-for-1 hot dogs for baseball here.
See?
And in Mexico, it's chicharrones and papas.
Oh, my God. Can we talk about... Oh, my God. Can we talk about the lucha libre food in Puebla?
Wait. The fucking, like, breaded shrimp looks so disgusting.
I cannot believe they were serving shrimp at a wrestling event.
People are eating it like nothing, and they're like,
I know.
A la chingada, cabrones. And take a bite of the shrimp.
And I was like, I looked to me, I was like, maybe I should get it. Everybody's getting it. And the people I went with are like, do not eat anything here. You will die. And I'm like, but look at the semitas. They look so bomb. Oh, my gosh.
But the chips and the chicharrones are safe.
Yeah.
But that's it.
If you guys get to go to a Lucha Libre event in Mexico ever, always sit on the rudo side. Right? Because it's more fun.
It's so much fun.
Right? Because they split it up. So you can either be on the good guy side, which is los rudos, right? And then the bad guy side, which is what?
Los técnicos.
The good side.
Los técnicos.
Los técnicos. Uh-huh. So that's usually the white.
No, yo soy técnico de corazón.
White people. técnicos. Brown people are the rudos usually.
Mentiroso.
Oh, but it was so good. Like listening to the... the people yelling. I remember these
with
girls,
the drums,
these girls that were behind me. Mm-hmm. She was like, "Chinga tu madre!" They're like so angry. Oh my god, it was the best.
That happened to me, but I looked and it was like this 10-year-old.
Yeah,
and it was this little girl. She was so excited about it. She was like, she wanted to jump on the stage. It was so good. But yeah, it's all about the food. So
yeah.
So that's why I don't follow anything. And like, I try to watch football, like, you know, US football.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. And I know I'm going to get a lot of shade for that, but I don't care. And my sister loves it. I remember one time she wanted to get into this class in UNLV.
Mm-hmm.
And she was looking at the schedule, and she's like, "Oh, I'm going to take this class. I'm sorry, I'm going to take this class." And the friend is like, "Oh, no, you can't." And she's like, "Why?" "Because of Monday Night Football." So she did it.
Shut the fuck up. That's girl, classes are Monday, Wednesday.
Yeah, she's
hardcore. How did she graduate?
She did.
Thursday classes.
She's a maestra.
It took her 12 years to get a degree.
Shout out to CDs, but yes.
Oh, my gosh.
She graduated. She's a hardcore fan.
Oh, she took morning classes.
But see, my dad is like a super fan of everything. Like, mostly soccer. But mostly football. But I never got into it.
Yeah, my family's super into baseball. Like, they're all for Los Dodgers, you know? And I'm like, they're always like, "Let's go see the Dodgers. Let's go." I'm like, I have to watch Orange is the New Black.
That's a very interesting space, because in the Dodgers game, if you are closer to the field, you don't find the same food that it's up in the...
Really?
And there's like, it even says, I don't know, like, everything is catered for Chicanos in the football stadium.
Oh, the hot dogs, right?
They have this casco, the hat for the baseball players. Uh-huh. They fill it out with fries and carne asada. It's like this dirty Mexican, but you can only find it up in the cheap seats. You don't find it in the bottom seats. It was so interesting. So my sister got us really good seats. So we had to go up in the elevator and go get that good food and then come back down and watch the game. It was it's like stratified fucking baseball food. But anyway, yes.
Speaking of stratification.
Yes.
Let's talk about this Olympics, the 2016 Rio de Janeiro Olympics opening ceremony. So what did you think? What did you think? Let me answer the question. It looked beautiful. Like, it was...
Yeah, it was a beautiful
It
ceremony.
Was a really great...
It was very simple, and it was very beautiful, yeah.
Very minimal, which I really liked.
Pero
qué.
It's just charged with problems. Well, I mean, every Olympic ceremony, it's about... It's like a flag, right?
Yes.
This is a specific country, and the eyes of the world are watching, so you have to show off. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
And it is... I'm all about it because it's a Baroque spectacle. Doing a continuation of the past show is all about theatricals. It's all about showing off power, which is what it is. And that the best example of it was Beijing. So ever since I saw Beijing, and Beijing wasn't trying to hide their history or anything. They're like, this is a military show, and everybody in the fucking world needs to learn Mandarin because this is the new world order. This is exactly what they try to show in the opening ceremony. So I was very intrigued about the Rio de Janeiro opening because this is, I don't think since Mexico in the in 68, we haven't seen an opening ceremony by a Latin American country.
68? Wow.
And that also came with a lot of controversy because students and a lot of quote-unquote hippies, however they were defined back then as hippie students, they were rattled all and killed in Plaza de Tlatelolco on October 2nd, my sister's birthday. That's why we remember that.
Happy birthday.
And and it was a huge, huge controversy. It was a huge deal where like thousands and thousands of students and protesters were killed because of the Olympic Games. Damn. And but the same thing is happening here in Brazil. So in spite of all of that, I wanted to see... What was it about?
Well, I literally just watched it, and it was so painful to watch it because I didn't watch it live. Mm-hmm. So I had to watch it through this NBC.com bullshit, and it took forever. Like, to watch 5 minutes, there's commercials, like, every minute. But I did love... Remember how when we did the Jaime Escalante Stand and Deliver episode? Mm-hmm. You were like, anytime they want to set the tone and let the audience know that we're in South America, what's the first thing you hear?
I don't know.
The panpipes, like, do-do-do-do.
Oh, but know? Here's a...
the pipe sound. So NBC, that's what they... That's the first shot is of, like an indigenous person in the jungle, like, do-do-do-do, like, playing the fucking pipes. Oh. And so... But the first thing you saw in... was in the... As part of the stadium, mm-hmm. right, was all these people in the stadium... And what is it called? Maracana.
Which is one stadium? Of the most important soccer stadiums.
In
soccer history, yes.
Yeah, and so it was very minimal. They did like a big countdown, kind of these futuristic outfits. Mm-hmm. And to me, it kind of just was like to show like that Brazil isn't a jungle, you know?
And that's...
Right now, it's like it's a modern day country.
And that's success... That's why this was such a Latin American ceremony. It's all about modernity, mm-hmm. and it's all about the progress. And my friend Gustavo in Honduras makes this joke. He goes, no matter what town, what country in Latin America you go, you're going to find a city called El Progreso.
Yes. Oh, my God. My stepdad is from El Progreso, Guatemala.
For real? See? And he was telling me about El Progreso in Honduras. So this failed so fantasy funny. About modernity that's what they tried to show in this opening ceremony. But the interesting about Brazil, Eddie, was that it was about showing modernity and progreso and all this bullshit. At the same time that you have all these racial issues that are happening right now, but they're also rooted in a long, long history.
Yes. Yeah, that was... Speaking of their history, mm-hmm. their history right now... Well, what's going to be their history mm-hmm. is pretty fucked up. Their president was impeached, right?
The president was impeached.
And so they before the ceremony, they introduced the interim president.
Correct.
Jesus.
And you have that. You have the protests for... Because you have all this money that has been spent on this Olympic city, and the favelas are falling apart in so many ways. And this is what bugs me so much about this type of events, that entire neighborhoods were wiped in order for this thing to happen. And then on top of that, the government is using the idea or the dream or the fantasy of the favela in order to promote the country. So every single newscast that you watch, they take a tour of the favela.
Oh,
like,
God.
If it's a fucking circus.
No.
It's so, so horrible. And I was listening to a podcast today. I have to remember the name. And they said that one of the favelas that the government used to take everybody there, like, oh, look, poor people live okay. Like, everything is fine.
No.
A lot of that has been changed. And they have over 30,000... like military guys, like cops, guarding that favela just for tourists to go there.
To and see what a favela is like.
And on top of that, they built a, ¿cómo se llama? A boutique hotel, a jazz club. It's crazy. It's like whitewashing the entire mountain, like the entire favela. It's disgusting. But in the meantime, like a lot of people has died, torture even. I mean, there's just like a long history. Just like what happened in 68 in Mexico, what happened in Atlanta, for example, in the States. The same thing. They raised in 1996. They raised part of the city to build this Olympic city. And of course, what are the neighborhoods that are most affected? Speaking of Dodger Stadium, they're the brown neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And it's I don't know, it's disgusting.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, let's see. Let's just talk about like what happened during the ceremony. You know what? The for some reason I got a little choked up when they were doing the national anthem before. I don't know why. Did you see that? Because
that's what they want you to do.
Damn. They were playing me like a violin. Like those violin players, all those white violin players on the stage.
They got you.
They got me. I was like, this is so important.
Yeah.
Because
it's all about nationalities. It's all about nationalism. And see, this is why I told you it's like a Baroque spectacle, because back then it was spectacle in the streets. It's about art. This is how you will show power, and this is how you show this idea of unity within the territories. And now, and it was through the main institution, which was, you know, the Catholic religion. And now it's all about governmental power, and the Olympic ceremonies is the perfect example of that.
So yeah.
It's about that. And I mean, you see it everywhere. With every time the Olympic, the national anthem plays, when there's like a gold medal, it's just all for that same reason. It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
So it's the ceremony starts with
with all those people on the field, and then it was a really impressive technology, like these projections, because I was like, how do they get all that sand out there?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh duh, it's projected sand.
You were saying they only got what was the budget?
So I think after we talk about it, I've been emailing with my friend Raquel Valadares. Okay. Shout out to Raquel. She actually lives in she lives in Brazil. So I really wanted to get a Brazilian's perspective of what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. So I think after we talk about it, I'll read her comments, but she has a lot of random facts in there that are really interesting. But yeah, they had, I don't know, an eighth of the budget or something of London Olympics.
Which is why...
Or a tenth, I don't know.
Yeah, but this is why they spend most of their money in...
On the projections. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the projections were cool. And of course, I mean, it started with that countdown with the metallic people, but immediately it started with the indigenous people of Brazil, all the tribes. And what really cracked me up is the commentary from the NBC people.
Which it must be the same for all of the countries.
I don't know.
I've seen it in Mexico, and I've seen them in Spanish and in English. And it's every year. I mean, every 4 years, whatever. It's the same tone. So I bet the Olympic...
They have a script or something?
Yes. And they just give it to all the reporteros.
So all those... So there's all these... I'm trying to avoid using the word Indians, mm-hmm. because... I don't like using that word.
Because that term didn't exist before the Spanish arrived.
Yeah. But all of these native Brazilians, all these tribes from Brazil, right? They all look the same.
Yeah, and they're homogenized.
They're like, all homogenized. Like the hundreds of tribes, this is what they kind of look like.
They all
look of
them together. The same way.
Yeah.
And it's very, it's also interesting to me because the first fantasies about the Americas starting appearing in maps in the 16th century, and the first things you start seeing in the map was Brazil.
Yeah.
And Brazil was represented through jungle and through feathers and through birds. And then later, people are like, we need more. So the second round of maps, if you want to call it like that, started to show cannibals and people eating each other in Brazil. So Brazil indigenous communities were always, it's always being a platform to imagine the Americas as this savage way. So they kind of didn't do anything different in the ceremony.
Well, my favorite line that they said was like, these performers are direct descendants of the tribes. I'm like, I'm pretty sure not all of these people are direct descendants.
Yeah, and with the genocide, it just killed everybody. Yeah,
I'm sure.
And that's, I don't know, it was... Because you've seen, for example, in Australia, in the opening ceremony of Australia, you have something similar.
Yeah.
But they had four main tribes of Aboriginal people in Australia. And they at least named the tribes. This is this, this, and that. And this is, I mean, the importance. At the end of the ceremony in Sydney, it was still all about, oh, we're all white and we're holding hands.
Okay, but let's give them the benefit of the doubt because the rest of the show was very generalized. And maybe this was like a minimalization. Let's give even though they gave the tribes people like what?
2 minutes.
2 minutes of the whole fucking show. Anyway, and then so you have this projection of the rainforest, mm-hmm. and then it even starts to break down while the native Brazilians are there, and the then there's all this fabric, this rope, mm-hmm. that comes up that I thought was really amazing, like. When all that string comes up, you know what I'm talking about?
What? Yeah, but what do you think that meant? Because I didn't get it.
I think it just was like visual, and it was like a way to create design and to, mm-hmm. in a very easy way, like to link everybody together. Because at the beginning, it was tribes, working to make habitat or just like. To cover, I thought it was weird that even the indigenous people were wiping out the rainforest. I'm pretty sure the rainforest was fine when there was tribes, but it was just a way to tie everything together, I think, and literally with rope or with string.
And then after that, which I'll give it to them, was the introduction of the Spanish, and it was seeing colonization in a stage as a form of entertainment was a little crazy.
Was it Portuguese?
Yes, with the Portuguese coming in. I keep thinking the Spanish.
Yeah.
The Portuguese coming in those big boats, and you can see them like bearded men. And And as they were walking, the field, the screens were changing. So the whole landscape went from lush to actual like fields that they've been working on.
Yeah.
And then after the introduction and the good thing about it is that when they were showing the introduction of the Portuguese, it wasn't like, oh, the meaning of two cultures. It wasn't necessarily something positive. Like they came in as this scary people that changed the landscape.
Yeah, it was a little too nice, like when that.
Well, I mean, when one of the, at the end of the day,
when the tribesmen, I keep saying tribesmen, like I don't know, when the person goes up to the Portuguese guy and is like smelling him, like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah,
like and, your neck would have been cut. Like, what are you talking about?
And the camera cuts to that
meeting. Oh yeah, of course, of course.
Mm-hmm. That was interesting.
And then they wove that in, like the ropes into that, because they made it look like waves or whatever coming through. Mm-hmm. That was very nice looking. I don't know. I'm trying to be positive. You know what I mean? It looked amazing. But yeah, so then they showed the slaves, the African American. The black slaves.
Yeah.
You know, that's what cracked me up about us using the term African American. Because we've been taught, I just did it. Mm-hmm. We've been taught to say African American instead of black.
Yeah,
and I feel like African American is such a bullshit term.
Because it's our egos.
Like I'm trying to be politically correct. I'm trying to be politically correct, and that's why I said African American.
But it's like our.
But it's like those slaves that were in Brazil are the same fucking slaves that we had.
Yeah,
like
it's part of the same, not part of the same of the. It was a different.
Different trade.
Well, yes, it was a different trade, which affected the country. We have that in the colonial period, 4.8 African slaves came to Brazil. And
say that again. How many?
4.8 million African slaves came to Brazil, And right now, Brazil, for example, has the second largest black population in the world after Nigeria, just to give you an idea.
Wow.
And they try to show that, how you can hear the chains, right? Rattling.
Yeah.
Ksh, ksh. And then as they were coming in, they changed the landscape, but that's it. they got like 2 minutes, I think, a couple of minutes.
No, it was longer, but yeah, the I felt like they showed like different types of African slaves. Like it wasn't just like one. That at least they did that. There was like two
types. But, of I mean, African regardless slaves, of that, the positive thing about all of this, which there's no positive thing, is that if you compare it, for example, to the U.S. Olympic Games. No, Atlanta in 96 and LA in 96 and LA in 84, they completely disregard the they completely disregard that painful part of history.
That's what I was thinking. Like, how cool is it that they're actually addressing that this is part of history instead of like us, like people writing textbooks right now, dismissing the fact that slavery even existed in the United States.
It was labor.
Ugh. They had a great time. They were just, they loved they were working fed. The fields.
They were fed to build the fucking White House.
Yes. Shout out to Michelle Obama in that speech. Hell yes. But that also, was awesome.
But also when they tried to, when they tried to dismiss what she said. And,
of course they did.
Yeah, with saying that, oh no, they were well fed and everything is fine. And Hakuna Matata. And it's just so annoying. But LA could have been an opportunity to talk about that. Atlanta could have been an opportunity to talk about that. And the only thing that you see in the opening ceremony of Atlanta was there was like a big like piece of material that covered the entire field. And that was the Civil War, the Civil War disrupting the South. Yeah. And that was it. It's just so it was at least nice to see that they recognize how fucked up everything is, but at the end of the day, again, everybody hold hands and everybody was happy.
Yeah. Huh. Well, and then I also, because I'm ignorant to Brazil's history, like I don't really know. I don't know anything.
Yeah, I don't,
so,
I don't know.
So, I mean, I only know they got really good steak there. And apparently, I'm just going to be quiet before I say something dumb. Anyway, and I know about the favelas because favela is my last name. Mm-hmm. So, I know about that. But anyway, the representation of Asians also in the, was it Chinese or what do you know?
It was, well, I don't know. Like, I don't know exactly what they tried, what culture they tried to represent, but but we know that there was a big influx of Asian people because of the it was the Eastern Portuguese Empire that up until 1999 was still in Macau, China. So, so it was part of the same empire, and there was an influx of people from different parts of Asia. So that was also good to see that they gave a shout out. So it's almost like the product of modern or contemporary Brazil was that, was just different people from different parts of the world. But again, I don't know if it was the budget or if it was time, but everything happened in like 5 minutes. And it was so simplified that it was hard to really grasp how like important it was, you know?
Yeah. They gave, okay, so then, okay, so then after that, the favelas, the they start doing that parkour stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Brazilian? Is that why they focused on that? Like the jumping from building to building?
I don't know.
And then, the favelas popped up, and the favelas served as a backdrop,
like the stage,
like a stage for the rest of the show, basically for the beginning of the ceremonies. And what did you think about that?
Now it was interesting because it's almost like the excuse for them to use black culture as everything Brazilian was like, oh, here we're gonna talk about the slave trade, and then. Yeah. And then now, okay, so now we have the right to claim everything that is Brazilian as part of, like, everything black culture is part of Brazilian culture.
Mm.
And so there were different types of dances, there were different types of music, there were important singers also that were highlighted on the stage. Oh, but before that,
yes,
like, the whole thing becomes a catwalk for this bitch
that's right after that.
Oh, it was after that?
Yeah.
Oh, Dios mío. Anyway.
So the favelas... No, you're right. Giselle, the model Giselle, walks all the way down like...
Where's the last name from? Munchen? Is it German?
I don't know, girl. I don't know nothing about her.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, she walks down the runway like...
So the whole stage is like blank.
Yeah.
It's just a spotlight on her. Like a national fucking hero. Oh, she's a national hero, I guess. Like if, I don't know. I was thinking when she was doing that, I'm like, if it would have happened in Mexico, like who would be given, because she walked the entire thing.
Who would it be,
thing.
Talia?
No, Talia.
As Maria Mercedes.
Vivi Gaitán,
as Mariela del Barrio.
She's like, Marimar, güey.
Marimar.
Dios mío. But who, so the whole stage, so again, slavery probably got around the same amount of time in the history of Brazil as this bitch walking in the catwalk that was a whole entire stadium.
No, estás exagerando.
Güey, pues sí, güey.
Tanta crema tus tacos. Okay, so then... Yeah, so then the favelas were very romanticized and like, see, like, look at us, like, look at the fun designs of these shanty towns, like, so colorful.
So everything, like,
that was interesting.
Everything that we're talking about the problems with the favelas right now in the Olympic Games and everything that happened, of course, was completely erased. And there is an article, I'm going to put the link on the website, where they quote Fernando Meirelles. And he, Fernando Meirelles is one of the organizers, and he said in a recent interview, Olympic ceremonies aren't the place to air a country's dirty laundry. So that was his excuse to talk about favelas without really talking or, you know, highlighting the problems of the favelas. So I don't know, man. It was like back and forth with me. I was like, oh, okay. I see what they did there. And part of me was like, nope. This is still an Olympic ceremony and it's a mess. And it's very oppressive. The whole entire event reminded me of, I mean, I might be wrong, but the whole entire event reminds me of the Colosseum, where people in Rome will go to entertain themselves, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the power was with the emperor, and he decided who died or who didn't die at the end of the games or whatever. Uh-huh. So even though it was about entertainment, it's all about who was Big Brother, like who's the main man, like who's the main dude who has power over everybody. That's what happens right here. It's about entertainment. It's about sport. It's a huge ceremony, but at the end of the day, it's about nationalism, which is very scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so after the favela part, yeah, you're right. It goes into it's like celebrating all this music and carnival and all that shit, right?
So yeah, it's like quote unquote celebration of black culture.
Yeah, so most of it was black culture for sure.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, it showed, I thought was interesting. It showed like the separation of class in Brazil. Like, so there was all these people on the field dressed in different colors. And then kind of showing a hierarchy between the classes and the people dressed certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end of the choreographed movement, they all kind of were spread out throughout the whole field. And and all of the Brazilian people were one kind of message. Yeah.
All colors appeared. All colors appeared. And everybody was dancing.
Yeah.
Which is, if you review the history of, oh man, I'm sure there's a book out there. We need to find it. But if you look at the different ceremonies in the past couple of decades, they all end the same way. It's almost like the Olympic Committee say, you have to talk about this, you have to talk about this, but whatever you do, at the end of the day, it has to be about unity. It has to be about peace. So, I don't know.
So, my friend, Raquel sent me, if we were texting back and forth, I just want to read a couple of the things that she sent me, and then we can just like talk about what we think about what she's saying, because this is from her perspective, which I find interesting. So
where is she? Is in Rio?
Or? I think she's in Rio, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So Fernando Meirelles and Daniela Thomas are the two artists that actually were in charge of putting this presentation together, this whole show. So she says they are great artists, So they are great artists, though white and privileged. The Meirelles is a successful filmmaker. He directed one of the world's best films, City of God. Mm-hmm. And Thomas is a multi-talented theater and film director. The two worked with internationally acclaimed choreographer Deborah Kolker. By the way, I'm saying all these names wrong, so mm-hmm. I already apologize. And with a tenth of London's opening ceremony's budget.
Oh, there you go.
Uh-huh, to create a positive image of Brazil. Since Rio won the nomination, there were talks regarding which image we would portray. Commissioned people didn't want to fall into the carnival portrayal, right? So just like fiesta, like party kind of thing, right? So they wanted sophistications, she says.
Whatever that means.
Uh-huh. Thus, they hired a team of sophisticated people with sophisticated taste, mm-hmm. whatever that means, right? And they didn't hire the excellent professionals from Carnival, right? So what popular Brazilian culture, actually Carioca, meaning from Rio, was perceived as adequate or as to an international audience, right? Mm-hmm. So she's asking that question. So here she's going to...
So
go ahead.
Yeah. So it's interesting because thinking about Fernando Meirelles' City of God, I'm thinking how he's now his two biggest quote unquote gifts to the world are extreme views of the favelas. And you have, for example, City of God, which shows this tremendously violent and brutal place where these two kids grow up. By the way, there's a series about those two kids that later came out. I've been trying to find them. I'll put the link on the website, which they're actually really good.
Yeah.
But City of God shows this like this fantasy of this barbarian place, right? That is the favelas. And then in the Olympic Games, he does the complete opposite. He raises all of that to give you this fantasy that doesn't exist. So I'm nobody to give my opinion on this, but in my opinion, I feel like reality lies somewhere in the middle, you know, instead of this extremely nothing but violence and nothing else in City of God, or, you know,
I've
everybody's
never seen
happy.
That movie City of God. I need to watch
it opened like a new, period of cinema, because if you think of Amores Perros, for example, that's almost like the City of God, I think, of Mexico.
Interesting. So let me continue reading.
Go ahead. Yes.
Okay. So she said, while I was watching the opening ceremonies at the same time everybody else was, I recognized this element of whitewashing. I too am a privileged white Brazilian and have had more access than others. So the spectacle we've seen is very contemporary, very minimalist. The metallic outfits worked well with the projections, and all the video graphics were pop art. The reference was clear. I could recognize the reference of a Brazilian TV show called Esquenta, mm-hmm. a TV show that brings popular culture to primetime TV. And by saying popular culture, we mean Afro-Brazilians, Afro-indigenous Brazilian, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. So we are a country of mestizos, though the interim government has only white heterosexual men in charge. By the way, there is a coup sort of happening here in Brazil at the moment, which we kind of talked about a little bit. So what the elite, those white privileged men and women do every time that we want to praise Brazilian culture, they showcase their version of what is popular. The reason why I feel the talented trio succeeded on doing a relatively good job during the show is that they actually gave a voice to specifically black women singers. So we're talking about the Olympics being the Olympics of women empowerment. And this discussion has risen just recently, together with the Strengthen Black Movements, somewhat related to Black Lives Matter.
Interesting. And this idea of the government using their whatever idea of what popular culture is, it's every country. Every country. Mexico uses its indigenous people to promote.
Yeah.
It's all about traveling to Mexico and buying all the art from the different populations, right? From the different communities.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, indigenous rights in Mexico are just on the floor.
Yeah.
And you see that I can go on and on giving you examples around the world, Australia, et cetera, et cetera. And it's interesting that she mentions that in Brazil, it's not so much indigenous population, but it is the black population that veil that it's both. That shows that if you investigate, it shows the reality of things, but at the same time, it's promoted as this fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, just like
Frida.
Like Frida. Be careful, don't talk shit about Frida. She'll make you shit yourself again.
What is?
So, I find what she's saying very interesting, and it's true. Like, we've never had slavery portrayed in the history of our country as a performance.
Yeah.
We do. There is this talk now that I hear a lot about us kind of fetishizing the slavery, like with movies like 12 Years a Slave, or like the the remaking of Roots, and this kind of like white guilt that this country has. So,
but not in an international way.
But
I mean,
not like this, right?
Yeah, those movies have its series and series of problems, but the way just put it in an international stage like that, I mean, it's...
They didn't ignore it, which I think is important, I think is cool.
Okay, keep going.
But what? You're just saying...
No, I'm just saying it's true. It's not ignored. However, it's almost like that's their passport to ignore... everything
it's
else.
It's a pass.
Exactly.
It's a pass. They're like, we're gonna show you the slaves, and then we're gonna claim all black music is ours.
It's like this guy, I'm gonna give you Jacob Masters for free, and then I'm gonna make fun of.
We're gonna give what?
Jacob Master, whatever the name of that alcohol, that shots that you were getting in that bar.
Oh, Jaeger.
Yeah, it's like this guy, I'm gonna give you Jaeger
shots.
Therefore, I'm gonna make fun of you being a Mexa.
Oh.
So it's kind of what the government is doing. But anyway. Just making a good, beautiful circle.
Thank you so much for that. Okay, so let me just read her last statement. On one hand, the opening ceremony had been depicted... On one hand, the opening ceremony has been depicted by skepticism because the theme environment... Oh, because at the end, it's like a whole, like, save the world, global warming kind of thing. Because we're the Amazon, right? Okay, environment hasn't been met in all tasks. Rio has been appointed by the Olympic Committee. So I think what she's saying is, like, they haven't lived up to the standard of actually being conscious of the environment while building out this Olympic village, right, or city. So we must be skeptical regarding the portrayal of popular culture in the opening ceremony.
That's true.
She's saying, like, they weren't responsible with that. So So how are they really being responsible with anything else?
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, we must recognize the power of certain choices. You can take Beyonce singing Formation in the Super Bowl, for example. That's kind of what was done with this ceremony. So that's just kind of equating, I think, showing the black culture, like the black women singers, mm-hmm. right? As, you know, kind of this statement like Beyonce made during our Super Bowl, which was very... controversial.
Yeah, and it was very powerful for a lot of people.
They've chosen to raise all of these questions, and just to come to a solid conclusion, please notice that for the first time in an Olympics opening ceremony, the athletes weren't organized by country. Once they entered the stadium, they could be anywhere among any other group. So while everybody was seeing the apotheosis of samba drums... in a monochromatic costumes, which don't ever happen in carnivals, by the way, she says, all the world became one people, one mixed people. And that is hardcore Brazilian cosmology.
We are the world.
Cosmogony. How do you say that?
We are the children.
Oh, yeah, like a Michael Jackson video. Yeah.
But
cosmogony.
But
cosmogony. Yes. Sorry, Raquel, I fucked up everything you said. And you know what? Like, this is what impresses me about Raquel, is like she can speak like four languages,
mm-hmm.
and she can speak Spanish and English and Portuguese, of course, because she's from Brazil and probably something else. And I'm over here, I can't even speak Spanish or English correctly. So she sent me these messages. She's like, can you please edit them? And I was like, girl, this is better than how I would say it. I don't know. But anyway, but we get the gist, right? Like my mom, when she speaks English, she's like, you know what I mean. Yes. Right? So we know what she means.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. And we get it.
It's so interesting. I can take apart this whole thing for days. Going back, this idea of the apotheosis of Zamba, it's so interesting to me because what they're doing is they're creating what we're saying a fantasy.
Yeah.
But in Brazil in the early 20th century, there was this ideology about it. They call it racial democracy, where there was really no race, that all the races came together and everything was fine. But the reality is that there's a lot of discrimination in Brazil today, just like there is in the United States, or even more probably. I mean, not to compare, but there's a lot of discriminations of people of color. So it's almost like this Olympic game was the fantasy of racial democracy, because that's what they were trying to do. And with that come a series of problems, which is one of the things that she's mentioning, because at the end, just like every other ceremony, everybody was together as humanity. By the way, I hate when people do that. I hate when people are like, it's not about color or this, about humanity. When they use that term, it almost makes me feel like this is what they're doing.
Just like Justin Timberlake fucked up and tweeted like...
What did he say?
He's like one of those All Lives Matter people. Just like Jennifer Lopez tweeted that too.
Yes,
and pinche pendeja. We're going to talk about her. J-Lo, yes. She better watch out. She better watch out.
She's in my blacklist.
We got to talk about her. Yes. Her privilege is so real.
But this idea that we're all the same or whatever. No, we're all different because we have been fucked by history because so many fucking reasons and so many different ways. And while this opening ceremony started to do that, completely erased it. Used that, as we said, as a passport to homogenize absolutely everything. And by the way, where were the Asians and where were the indigenous people at the end? They were erased. You didn't see them in the camera anymore.
Yeah.
It was I don't know. It was very interesting to see it, but very problematic.
Yeah. I mean, all in all though, I mean, as a viewer, they got me. I was like, this is fucking sick.
I was there with my palomitas.
It looked awesome. And I was kind of proud. I was proud of Brazil, you know? But at the same time, I just keep hearing these stories of like the rowers, right? That the water there. Some of the countries pulled out because there's like raw sewage in the water. And it's just all this shit that's like,
there's
so
much stuff.
Jesus.
When white people talk about water in Latin America, I don't listen.
Yeah, because excuse me, let's talk about water in our own fucking country. Exactly. We can't even get it right over here. Plus, why are you guys talking shit over there?
Yeah, plus... Yeah. Anyway.
Plus what?
No. That's it. This whole idea that they get, like when Sex in the City, when one of the girls drinks water, it's just, cálmate, I know, like, you have to be careful, but you have to be careful everywhere. Like, it's not, ay, me lavé los dientes with the water, like, I brush my teeth with the water, and now I'm, like, sick forever. Come on. Like, no mamen. No mamen. I know.
Jeez. Anyways, I will admit that I did catch the diving portion of the male.
No te aguantas, pendeja, no te aguantas.
That was crazy, and that reminded me of like, okay, I need to get my life together because those bodies on those people, Jesus, Joseph, Mary, la mula, la vaca, the incense and myrrh, baby.
La cabra. La puta de la cabra.
Oh my god. All of fucking Bethlehem. Jesus Christ.
Los dinosaurios.
Oh my god. I was like, are they supposed to be showing this on TV? I was watching it at a bar with my friend and I was like, I gotta go. Like, I gotta take care of business right now. No, that's disgusting. I would never do that. But, I mean, not in a public restroom. But,
speaking of fitness, we are missing our class.
Oh my God, it starts in 6 minutes.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
We, So Babelito and I take a fitness class. It's actually, you probably heard of it. It's called Mix Fit. It's like a hip hop dance class. That's sweeping, that has swept the nation. I shouldn't say it's like.
We're so late to it, dude.
I don't think we can make it.
No, we're not going
to
do it.
Are we going to go? Oh. No. Yeah, maybe no. We can go to the park.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, we're running out of time, which is cool because then we don't have to talk about ourselves anymore. But we got to put a pin in this conversation.
Yes.
Because Babelito and I, we, especially me, I think I want to talk about like health and fitness and self-care, which is a big thing throughout a lot of podcasts. And, you know, I'm not getting any younger. And what the Olympics and all the athletes remind me is that I'm a fucking blob and I need to get my fucking ass outside. And, like, that's why I think Pokemon Go is a blessing. Because, I mean, when I was in Reno, I walked like 10 kilometers to hatch these damn eggs. So I wouldn't have done that probably if I didn't have the app. But, I'm excited. Some of the Olympic stuff is interesting, so I can't wait to watch it.
No, but me too. And I'm sure I'm gonna keep watching. I just wish that all this money and efforts that happen every 4 years will be put to another use because some countries need it, man.
You know what? And by the way, like,
dígame, señor.
Let me talk about it right now. Like, there's a lot of articles coming out right now about like, whoa, check out the Asian, like the Chinese, like one of the Chinese divers or swimmers, like is hot. And they're treating it as like this. Oh, and that guy from Tonga or whatever. Did you see that?
No.
And luego, ay, que se calmen. It's like.
Not only that, like.
Oh, guess what, America? Like, other people of color are hot too, right? Asians have been hot from day one. You've just been sleeping.
But forget like, that. That is just like. Like, just people exoticizing brown people, like exactly. The whole oil thing. I don't know if he put it on or somebody else
it
put
like
it on.
Al Roker on the Today Show or Good Morning America or whatever fucking show he's on. They were like putting the oil on that Tonga dude.
But that's it's just like that's such a colonial fantasy. Like I'm over it. When I saw it and people were posting things about it, I was like, ugh, next.
Yeah.
And there's body shaming with the Mexican gymnast too. What's her name?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh man, I wish
I don't know. But I like it when they're what?
Let me.
Sure. So yeah, I like it when they're. I like when they're a little softer, you know, just a little more approachable, if you know what I mean. Anyways, enough. I'm really excited.
Alexa Moreno, sorry.
Oh, Alexa Moreno.
Yes.
Oh.
And she's beautiful, but all these people on Twitter are body shaming her because she has curves. Basically, and she's not this idea of what gymnast is supposed to look like, and it's just disgusting.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Even though I know this is not the first Olympic Games that are part of the social media era or whatever, it really feels like it because there's a lot of things that are coming up that I never thought about. A lot of truths about people, and it's very interesting to watch.
Oh, that poor Filipino who like dived into the pool, like,
¿qué pasó, güey?
He was like doing a dive and he missed it, and he landed on his back in the pool.
Ay, no mames. Poor guy.
Y luego el vato que se quebró la pierna.
No, don't tell me, please.
Dude.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
You didn't see it?
I don't want to know.
Oh.
What? No, I don't want to know. Don't describe it. Don't describe it. Stop talking.
Le cuelga la patita, güey.
Don't tell me.
He's walking. That's why I'm making fun.
So oh, my
he's
God.
He's all good.
Okay. I don't want to know. So, do you have any recommendations this week?
Yes.
What are you doing? What's up?
This is a platform, this series that I want to recommend.
Yes.
They're just a platform to begin to talk about or to begin to learn about the Black history in Brazil.
Oh, cool.
They are Black in Latin America. That's the name of the series.
Black in Latin America.
They were produced by PBS in 2011, if I'm not mistaken. And there's like 4 or 5 different episodes. And in this, there's one episode for Mexico and Peru. And they talked about how being Black in those countries is almost like being in the closet. So, like, people don't recognize it, which is a whole nother episode. And then you have, for example, one episode on Haiti and República Dominicana, and the racial tensions in within each country and within both countries.
Yeah.
And then there's one episode, I think it's the fourth episode. There's one on Cuba, and that was an episode about Brazil. And the one about Brazil is very interesting. For example, it talks about how there's an ideology in 1889 called the Brancamento. And the Brazilian government paid for the migration of like over 4 million people or something like that from Europe. So they will like clean the blood. Yes, it's called whitening, Brancamento. And it lasted from 1889 to 1914. That's how much baggage Brazil is carrying, which, you do, of course, is not reflected at all in the Olympic Games. And so he talks about that. It's very, very, very interesting. Of course, he raises a lot of things, and there's a lot of problems with it. But it's a good platform to really start, if you're interested, to get into and start understanding more the complex history or the complex Black history of Brazil.
African-American history.
Yes.
No, African-Brazilian history.
African-Brazilian history.
Oh, man. Oh, cool. I'm going to have to watch that. I haven't seen that yet. I'm recommending this new podcast. It's called First and Felony. And it is actually my friend Russell does it, and my friend Courtney produces it, and it's really good. It's about sports and crime. So this episode was kind of about sports, but there's an episode on Tonya Harding that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite episode so far, but I think it comes out every other week or something. Anyways, First and Felony, look that one up. You can find them on iTunes, and we'll put a link on the website as well as everything that we've talked about. Sometimes it takes us a couple days after we do this because, you know, we're busy people sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But usually we have them up on the website. And thank you to Podcasts in Color, Barry over at Podcasts in Color, for giving us a shout out the other day, and to Tamarindo Podcast.
We love you guys.
We love you guys. They gave us a shout out.
Oh, before I forget, it's Henry Louis Gates Jr., the guy who narrates this.
Okay.
Because I wanted to give his name, but I couldn't remember. Anyway,
what happened? Morgan Freeman wasn't available?
No.
Oh, okay. So anyways, he was doing a penguin movie. Remember, if you find any cool podcasts that you want us to listen to, send them our way. Email us at latinoswholunch@gmail.com.
And please, 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 make sure to send all your comments and because we're going to have an episode just to respond to the comments and to respond to questions and to respond to criticism. So we need to hear more from you guys. And I've gotten texts, I've gotten certain comments on Instagram, this and that, but we need things on email so we can organize it and really spend a whole entire one or maybe two episodes just talking about what you guys think about us.
Not even us, but no, if you guys have questions,
what we talk about,
or if you guys want to, you know, have any comments of what we talked about,
reading us.
Oh, so I've already got a few emails doing that, girl.
Yes,
so
yes,
that'll be fun. So, and remember to use the hashtags that we've kind of been using right now.
Mm-hmm.
Support Brown Podcast
and Latinos Who Podcast,
and hashtag Latinos Who Podcast, right? So you can find us on the internet, or if we click on those hashtags, we can find what you guys are also listening to. And visit us on our website, latinoswholunch.com. Please subscribe to us on iTunes. And remember to just take a few minutes and rate us. Subscribe and rate on iTunes. The ratings and the reviews are actually really important, because the more people review the podcast, the more visibility it has on iTunes. And that's like the main distributor of podcasts. So please take a moment to do that if you haven't. If you like the podcast. If you don't, chinga tu madre.
Cierra la puerta.
It's fine. It's fine. don't do that.
Cierra la puerta con la larga.
Oh my gosh. Anyways, it's time to go. And
I need to take my
my antibiotic too, so.
Oh God, what do you have in this time? I don't want to know. Don't tell me.
Cierra la puerta. Cierra la puerta.
It's my new. Oh gosh.
Ciao.
Bye.
Adios.